What has Putin got to gain from war on homosexuals? Oh, we won't look at what else he's doing and how he's failing and what's going on with their economy and everything else in that country.
I have the feeling that no one cares about what happened, and I'm afraid that this crime, horrible crime, will stay unpunished.
They made Zimbabweans to think as if when you're talking about gays and lesbians, you are maybe probably talking about whether you want it or not.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Russian repression threatens the Olympic torch. Cameroon activists mourn an assassinated leader. And an update on Zimbabwe's long, hard slog against AIDS. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Tanya King Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 27th, 2013. LGBT news this week was dominated by several stories in or about Vladimir Putin's Russia. It began with venerable playwright, actor, activist Harvey Fierstein assailing what he called the Russian president's pogrom against gay people in a New York Times op-ed column. More about that later in the program. Meanwhile, the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill I, told congregants in Moscow's Kazan Cathedral that recognizing same-gender relationships means that people are choosing a path of self-destruction. He also called marriage equality a very dangerous sign of the apocalypse.
An appeals court in St. Petersburg upheld a backbreaking fine this week against the city's side-by-side LGBT film festival. Organizers denied violating a newly enacted Russian regulation that requires non-governmental organizations to report funding they get from abroad. They said they hadn't received any such funding, but the group was convicted under the new law of failing to register as a foreign agent. The judge did reduce the fine from 500,000 rubles to 400,000 rubles, but that's still more than $12,000.
A notorious neo-Nazi group has been using the Russian version of Facebook to lure young gay men to what they think is a date, only to be tortured, beaten, and forced to come out to friends and family as video cameras roll. The group, which claims to be acting against pedophilia, has even boastfully posted photos and videos of some particularly cruel sessions online. According to the Spectrum Human Rights Alliance, which publicized the situation this week, many young victims of the videotaped assaults have been driven to suicides, the rest deeply traumatized, and authorities are either ignoring or condoning the crimes.
Four Dutch nationals were arrested in northern Russia this week for allegedly violating the new law recently signed by President Putin that bans the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations. Russian immigration officials charged the group with violating its stated reason for being in the country, getting acquainted with local culture, when in fact they were filming a documentary about LGBT life in the town of Murmansk. Authorities seized the filmmaker's footage, alleging that a gay teenager interviewed by the team was only 17. But the filmmakers, one of whom leads a Dutch LGBT rights group, told the BBC that the young man in question told them that he was 18 when he agreed to be filmed. The visitors were each fined 3,000 rubles for violating the terms of their visa. That's about $93 US. And also banned from entering the country again for 3 years. They're believed to be the first non-Russians to be punished by the country's so-called no-promo-homo law.
The U.S. LGBT advocacy group Human Rights Campaign has urged the chief executive officer of NBC Universal, which will broadcast the Winter Olympics in the Russian Black Sea town of Sochi next year, to expose this inhumane and unjust law to the millions of American viewers who will tune in to watch the games. You no doubt agree, wrote HRC President Chad Griffin, that it wouldn't be right to air the opening ceremonies, which is an hours-long advertisement for the host country, without acknowledging that a whole segment of the Russian population, not to mention foreign athletes and visitors, can be jailed for an immutable aspect of their identity. NBC Universal told BuzzFeed that it strongly supports equal rights and the fair treatment for all people. But HRC called that response platitudes that won't do away with these heinous laws. And as Andrew Bolonsky wrote in The Advocate, there's no way NBC will be able to avoid covering the protests already being organized. One way or another, Putin will be shamed. NBC Universal can either go along willingly or find itself being caught from behind. The HRC also questioned a statement issued later in the week by the International Olympic Committee that it has received assurances from the highest level of government in Russia that the legislation will not affect those attending or taking part in the Games. Mere verbal assurances are not enough, the rights group said. The IOC must obtain ironclad written assurance from President Putin.
A gay night spot in Chicago may have been the first such establishment to stop serving Russian vodka, the two best known of which are Russian Standard and Stolichnaya, or Stoli. The idea to use the pocketbook to protest increasing Russian persecution of LGBT people picked up steam when a column by activist writer Dan Savage calling for a boycott of all Russian vodka went viral. The boycott has already spread to other bars in Chicago and to gay night spots in other cities around the world, including San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Seattle, San Diego, London, Toronto, and Vancouver. Stolichnaya's corporate owners, Luxembourg-based SPI Group, though some insist that the Russian government also has a hand in management, released an open letter this week from CEO Val Mendeleev, insisting that, as a company that encourages transparency and fairness, we are upset and angry about the new laws. Stolichnaya Vodka has always been and continues to be a fervent supporter and friend to the LGBT community. Leading Russian activist Nikolai Alexeyev opposes the boycott of Russian vodka. What is the aim of this boycott? He asked during an interview with Gay Star News. The producers, even if they become bankrupt because of the boycott, which is unlikely, will not be able to influence Russian politics and President Putin.
Elsewhere, lawmakers in the former Soviet nation of Moldova have secretly enacted their own version of Russia's no-promo homo law. The revelation this week that the measure passed on May 23rd, was signed into law by President Nikolai Timofti on July 5th, and took effect with its publication on July 12th, surprised LGBT activists and their allies, because it seems to run counter to the ruling coalition government's stated goal of having Moldova join the European Union. The new law specifies fines of up to 8,000 leu, about $625, for the distribution of public information aimed at the propagation of prostitution, pedophilia, pornography, or of any other intimate relations other than those related to marriage or family. Angela Frolov leads the LGBT rights group GenderDocM in the Moldovan capital of Chisinau. She said that her group and several others internationally believe that the new law contradicts the constitution and Moldovan law, especially the EU-backed anti-discrimination law and some international treaties that Moldova has signed.
Hundreds of extremists in the southeastern European nation of Montenegro chanted, "Kill the gays," and threw stones and bottles at the country's first LGBT pride parade on July 24th. About 120 outnumbered equality supporters suffered the assault in the seaside city of Budva, although police intervened to separate the peaceful pride marchers and their violent opponents. There were several injuries, though none were reported as serious, and some of the protesters were arrested.
A heavy police presence protected Lithuania's second-ever LGBT pride parade in the capital city of Vilnius from egg-throwing protesters on July 27th. The Associated Press reported that hundreds of equality activists waved Lithuanian and rainbow flags in the parade, some standing on tops of buses decked out in colorful balloons. Sweden's European Union Affairs Minister, Birgitta Olsen, who marched at the front of the parade with other dignitaries, was among those pelted with eggs. Police said that one officer was injured in confrontations with the protesters and that 28 were arrested. A local court okayed the march after city officials tried to stop it from going forward.
In other news, an effort to make South Australia the first state in Australia to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples failed this week. Several opponents argued that marriage in Australia is governed by federal law. Isabel Redman, a prominent member of the Liberal opposition, said that trying to enact marriage equality at the state level was nothing but an attempt to politicize something which can't be decided by this parliament. Even though Labour Party Premier Jay Weatherill strongly supported the proposal, only 19 of the lower house's 47 MPs voted for it. A similar bill is pending in South Australia's upper house.
Meanwhile, New Mexico Attorney General Gary King told the Supreme Court in his U.S. state this week that any effort to ban marriage equality is unconstitutional. A gay couple in Santa Fe has gone directly to the state high court demanding the right to civil marriage. King wrote in the legal filing that New Mexico's guarantee of equal protection to its citizens demands that same-sex couples be permitted to enjoy the benefits of marriage in the same way and to the same extent as other New Mexico citizens.
And finally, the Super Mario Brothers of the famed Nintendo game are actually a gay couple. According to a story published in mid-July by the Spanish-language website Ciencia Semanal, children under the age of 10 assume that Luigi and Mario are a gay couple rather than brothers. A follow-up story quoted the game's creator, Shigeru Miyamoto, as saying, "That was the original intention of the game. It was a game charged with the signs of gay culture, and Luigi and Mario were a gay couple trying to brave a society that rejects them." Ciencia Semanal also reported that the flagpoles at the end of each level in Super Mario Bros. Were deliberate phallic symbols, and that the Goomba enemies in the game were supposed to represent testicles. There's just one problem. Ciencia Semanal is a satirical Spanish-language website akin to the English-language Onion. Despite being posted alongside other headlines like Internet Police Assure That False Information on the Web is Near Zero, the story was reported as serious news this week in Mexico and several Central American and South American countries.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 27th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
It's becoming de rigueur in the media to tisk, tisk, tisk anti-LGBT actions in the third world. But before we look at the latest homophobic horrors on the African continent, we turn our attention to alarming developments in the heart of the second world. It took a New York Times op-ed piece by the multi-award-winning playwright, performer, activist Harvey Fierstein this week to put the spotlight on Russia's fierce crackdown on LGBT rights. President Vladimir Putin recently signed laws banning LGBT-positive speech and adoptions of Russian children by parents from marriage-equality countries, and more repressive laws are said to be in the works. Shocking violence against gays and lesbians and their allies is clearly on the rise. Fierstein took his dire warning to Lawrence O'Donnell's The Last Word on MSNBC.
What has Putin got to gain from war on homosexuals? Oh, we won't look at what else he's doing and how he's failing and what's going on with their economy and everything else in that country.
You compare it to the Nazi playbook. You say Mr. Putin's campaign against lesbian, gay, and bisexual people is one of distraction. It's a campaign of distraction, a strategy of demonizing a minority for political gain taken straight out of the Nazi playbook.
Well, and isn't that what the conservatives are doing to the homosexuals in the United States? I mean, it's the same thing. Who is it in Virginia that's running for governor of Virginia? He now wants to.
Cuccinelli, yeah.
Cuccinelli now wants to bring back the laws saying that even married couples cannot have oral sex.
Mm-hmm. Your piece contains a warning. The Olympics coming up, Winter Olympics coming
right.
up in Russia, and your piece contains a warning for tourists who might be going there for the Olympics.
Well, four Dutch tourists were arrested the other day. I think one of them had a rainbow pattern on the T-shirt, and the four of them were arrested. It's not that you're gay. It's not that they even think that you're gay. If you say something pro-gay, mm-hmm. if a teacher says to a student, there is another way of living, you get fined. If a newscaster reports this story in a positive way towards mm-hmm. gay, you can be fined. It's horrendous. I get messages even from gay people in Russia, you know, thanks to Facebook and, mm-hmm. and tweets and all that, saying, well, we're fine and all that. And I say, you know, having grown up with people with numbers tattooed on their arms,
yeah.
there's something that just gets me when people say, oh, we're just fine and all that. I mean, I had family members that thought it was just fine to stay in Germany at those times. There is a war. Declared against us. Somebody's willing to put you in jail because of who you are or what you think. What you think. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get back at people like that is take the money away. You have to starve the rat out. Putin is a rat. And you have to starve him out, you know? Don't put billions of the world's money into Russia for the Olympics. You know, take the Olympics somewhere else. That's my feeling. My feeling is we should boycott the Olympics.
Harvey Firestein's call on Lawrence O'Donnell's MSNBC program for a boycott of the 2014 Winter Olympics in the Russian city of Sochi is indeed being discussed in some quarters. Considering such an action is controversial, just as it was in 1936 when Nazi Germany hosted the Games. Boycott opponents now make similar arguments as were made then. They say the chance to spotlight the host country's discriminatory policies on its own ground beats staying home in silence. Gay U.S. figure skater Johnny Weir says that no police officer or government will keep him from competing. Gay New Zealand speed skater Blake Skellerup plans to wear a rainbow pin when he competes in Sochi. A New York-based LGBT Russian expatriate group led by Yelena Goltzman is manufacturing rainbow pins for Olympics-bound athletes, but she's encouraging a spectator boycott. Human Rights Watch LGBT Advocacy Director Boris Dietrich, however, is against any boycott. He believes that no one who supports LGBT equality is safe in Russia, and that it would be a stronger stand for the International Olympic Committee to demand that the anti-gay laws not be enforced at all. We'll, of course, continue to follow this story.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Dangers loom heavily over the heads of African LGBT activists, with Cameroon and Zimbabwe as two particularly critical hotspots. Free Speech Radio News featured reports from both countries this week, starting with coverage of the murder of Eric Lembembe, executive director of the Cameroonian human rights group CAMFADES. N'Gali Killian Chimtom has more from Yaoundé.
When Eric Lembembe didn't answer his phone, his partner Frederick Mveng thought something might be wrong.
When we arrived at Eric's house, the door was still locked, but we started to notice the stench, so the friend I was with tried to open the windows to find out where the stench was coming from.
Mveng never expected what he saw next.
After forcing open the windows, I saw his feet. At first, I didn't believe what I was seeing. I turned and told Michelle that Eric was inside. He surely died Friday night or early Saturday, but we only got there on Monday.
Lembembe was a prominent gay rights activist and journalist. He frequently published reports and blog posts exposing threats, attacks and intimidation of the LGBT community while also campaigning for equality and human rights. He recently pushed for an investigation into an arson and break-in in the offices of human rights groups. He wrote, quote, "Unfortunately, a climate of hatred and bigotry in Cameroon, which extends to high levels in government, reassures homophobes that they can get away with these crimes."
I feel shocked. I'm really traumatized by this terrific news of the assassination of my son Eric. And of course, I'm afraid too.
Gay rights lawyer Alice Nkom was so close to Lembembe she called him her son. As head of the Cameroon Association for the Defense of Homosexuality, Nkom says his killing is part of a wider campaign of violence and intimidation against LGBT people.
Madame Maximilien Gombe, who has been aggressed a lot of time, and daughters have been raped many times for what she's doing. And now this assassination, this is just so bad.
Nkom suggests Lembembe was targeted not only because he was gay, but for his activism.
Eric was a very, very nice person working in this area of sexual minorities defense. He was a journalist. He used to convey our messages to media and to people worldwide. I read his last article when he was reporting on what happened to Alternative when they put fire in the center in Douala, and I think that this is why he was killed.
Human rights defenders in Cameroon and across the globe are condemning the killing. Saskia de Tichem, the president of Lawyers Without Borders based in Switzerland, has worked with gay rights advocates in Cameroon. She says she will do everything within her power to bring the culprits to justice.
I'm appalled, very, very shocked, and I hope this is a wrong feeling. There will be no prosecution. I have the feeling that no one cares about what happened, and I'm afraid that this crime, horrible crime, will stay unpunished. And I will do everything in my power to help to find the authors of this horrible crime.
Getting justice for gays in Cameroon is not going to be easy. The country's penal code punishes gays or people suspected of being gays with prison terms of up to 5 years. In the government's first public response to the killing, a spokesperson lashed out at the media and threatened journalists that they'd be breaking the law for any interference or untruthfulness. But pressure is building. The governments of the United States, France, and the United Kingdom have condemned the killing, and the United Nations has called for an investigation into Lebembe's murder. Ngala Kilian Chimtom, FSRN, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Zimbabwe activists have been engaged in a struggle for LGBT rights for decades. Garikai Chaunza of Free Speech Radio News has the latest from Harare.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has fueled prejudice against LGBT people through public statements that endorse discrimination and stigmatization. He has on several occasions described gays as being worse than pigs and dogs, but the discrimination is not limited to public discourse. The country's common laws prohibit sodomy and define it as the unlawful and intentional sexual relations between two males. According to the Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, the criminal law explicitly prohibits consensual sex between adult men but can be applied to any semi-gender couple and includes penalties of fines and even prison. Tonerai Batasara works with the organization Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. He explains how the law is applied.
You see, the specific offense is that of sodomy, and it has to be distinguished from being you need to have committed the specific offense of sodomy for you to have contravened the law. It will not be enough just for you to be a gay man or a homosexual man.
Batasara has represented the advocacy group Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, or GALS, on several occasions after members were arrested and harassed by the state. One of those is the group's director, Chesterfield Samba. He was at one point picked up from his office, searched and taken to Harare Central Police Station. He was not formally charged before being released. Other GALS members and officials have over the years been raided, arrested and harassed by the police before being freed without charges. Samba says the climate of attacks and repression continues because few are lobbying for equality in the country.
I think the situation that needs to prevail in the country is a situation where everybody speaks to the notion around equality for everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or any other difference whatsoever. And I think that's the position in which so many civil society organizations that try and lobby for human rights, they try and speak on a platform around equality for everybody and human rights for all.
Samba and GALS attempted to gain protections for LGBT people last year during the process of the drafting of a new constitution. The issue sparked debates and even temporarily stopped the process after President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party accused the Morgan Tsvangirai-led MDC of trying to smuggle gay rights in the supreme law of the land. But Samba says they simply want the same protections as everyone else.
Our submission was premised on three issues: the right to privacy, right to equality and non-discrimination, as well as the right to dignity. You'll find that those three elements are now part of the new constitution that we now ushered in as a country. I think where the politicians expressed concerns was around the issue of same-sex marriage, which really wasn't our submission.
The National Constitutional Assembly, or NCA, is a grassroots NGO that formed 15 years ago to help advance human rights in civic issues. The group's spokesperson, Madok Shivasa, says that the recent constitution-making process left out a number of fundamental issues and groups.
The problem with the constitution-making process was also that it was sidelining a lot of people. It would be very difficult for those people in political power to understand them, because these are the people who actually brought the polarization that came when you want to understand the existence of this grouping in Zimbabwe. They made Zimbabweans to think as if when you are talking about gays and lesbians, you are maybe probably talking about whether you want it or not. The issue was for people of Zimbabwe to discuss about the existence of these people and to discuss about, so what can we do about their existence?
The majority of Zimbabweans are Christian, and many faith leaders preach homophobia. Even some of those who disagree with political statements on LGBT issues believe the myth that sexual orientation is a choice. Jairus Masango is a local pastor in Harare.
The bedrock of Christian life is understanding and tolerance. So the way I see it is we should try to look things from their point of view. Try to understand, you know, really what drove them into homosexuality. I would think the only solution is not to fight, it's not to attack them, but rather to pray for them.
US-based evangelical groups have also advanced anti-gay campaigns in the country. Although there may be a lack of condemnation of the discrimination and abuses within the country, United Nations Human Rights Chief Navi Pillay challenged Zimbabwe politicians against attacking homosexuals during a visit last year.
There can be no justification for violence, harassment, or stigmatization. And criminalization of any group because of their sexual orientation can lead to impediments to their accessing basic services. In other words, result in clear-cut discrimination, including treatment for HIV.
While campaigning recently in front of thousands of supporters, President Mugabe again made anti-gay statements suggesting the jailing of LGBT people who did not have children, according to New Zimbabwe News. Human rights advocates are calling on Mugabe to immediately cease making statements that vilify or dehumanize the LGBT community. Karika Ichaunza, FSRN, Harare.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Christopher Gall and Tanya Kane Perry contributed program material. Thanks also to Free Speech Radio News and to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our loyal listener supporters. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org for news about our latest exploits and for links to our podcast, blog, and Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CKLU, Sudbury, Ontario, WREK, Atlanta, Georgia, KGHE, Elma, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!